with resounding voice, you hear our Lord tell us, the kingdom is within you. And we who live as Christians, and particularly who live as monastics, try to open the gateway of our heart in order to find our Lord who is in there, deeply in the center, with the holy altar, with the holy table, and his presence is made manifest to us when we finally find the way to the entrance into the heart. And as we've been hearing the writings of the Holy Fathers, we know that a person, in order for a person to enter into his heart, to find the treasure, the pearl of great price, which is our Lord, we have to pass through the outskirts of the heart, and we have to pass through that entire area until we get into the center, which means we have to face ourselves. We have to come to know ourselves. And oftentimes people run away from that because it is very difficult to face oneself. Of necessity, we have to humble ourselves, because once we see that we are not so perfect and that we are not as great as we thought we were, the heart becomes humbled. And this is the whole mystery of, and the beauty of, God's spiritual law. So a person starts to see himself, he starts to become crushed, his heart becomes more humble, and in this manner he goes deeper and deeper into the heart until he finally finds our Lord, who is waiting, as we say in the prayer to the Holy Spirit, Comforter, come and abide in us, and cleanse us of every stain, because the stains and the sicknesses and our passions are those things which do not permit us to connect our mind and our heart together to be able to find God. And in this beautiful spiritual law, we actually open our eyes and we can perceive in a very, very tangible, very, very real, very spiritual way our Lord's presence within us. We have those five senses, as we've heard, and as the Holy Fathers tell us, as we heard the other night from St. Paisius of Tchaikovsky, the five senses which are both physical and spiritual, both taste and see that the Lord is good. In the Greek, the psalmist, Yevsesekei de Theoti Christos o Kyrios. The word Christos is written with an ita, which means good. Christ is good. The ultimate goal is obviously for this union and our participation in the Holy Eucharist, the service of Holy Thanksgiving. All the prayers that we read before our participation in the Holy Eucharist, the prayers of preparation, are essentially prayers of repentance. And those prayers are written by saints. We should give great attention when we read those prayers and see to what great depths the saints came to understand their sinfulness, and how in this manner they were actually brought to sanctification. A couple of weeks ago we had the life of St. Theodulos the Stylite and St. Cornelius the lute player, and we see how God judges and man does not really understand the great mysteries of God. And now we hear in today's Gospel concerning the Great Supper. We should understand, obviously, that the Great Supper is our communion with God, the Holy Eucharist, the saving Eucharist. The Matins Gospel, however, was about the road to Emmaus, our Lord walking with Luke and Cleopas. And as he was walking with them, he expounded unto them concerning himself from the Old Testament. And finally, they came to their destination, and our Lord, who appeared to them in another form, our Lord, whom they did not recognize, made as if he were to continue on the road, but they said, come and stay with us, for the day is far spent, the night is nigh at hand, and stay with us. And he blessed and he broke the bread, and they partook of the bread, and their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened, as we remember in the Psalms, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Their eyes were opened at the participation of the breaking of the bread, of consuming of the bread, which as we know is the body of the Lord. Our Lord says, I am the bread of life. Straightway their eyes were opened, and they understood that their hearts were burning within them. Their hearts had burned within them on the way. But once again, they had to make a connection. They did not really understand that their hearts were burning with them until they participated in the bread. They connected what needed to be connected. The same thing happens in the spiritual life. In the beginning stages, oftentimes we don't recognize God, but He is walking with us. And we have a beautiful phrase. There's a beautiful phrase which is chanted before the gospel readings. One word in Greek, hierokryphios, which means in a hidden sacred manner. And slowly, a person starts to recognize God, but in the beginning, it's very difficult for him to recognize Him because he can't really handle it. He's not ready. So slowly, we finally come to the point where we recognize God. And then we say, yes, wasn't He with me the whole time? Now I see. Now everything is starting to make sense. And that is the point when we are, as we said, making the right connections. Without our participation in the Holy Eucharist and Holy Communion, we are dead. Our Lord Himself says, whosoever does not partake does not have life in him. Whosoever partakes has life in him. But we cannot come to the Holy Eucharist in a casual manner. We have to understand the prerequisite is repentance, essentially. That a heart that is broken, humble, God will not despise. A heart that is ready for God, as we hear in the Psalms, ready is my heart, O God, ready is my heart, I will sing and chant in my glory. I glory not in myself, but in the cross of Christ, says the Holy Apostle Paul. And we then discover a whole different world. But what a tragedy it is when people are indifferent, and they have adiaphoria, indifference. And they come without any real preparation, or they make excuses, to make excuses with excuses and sins. But that's what we hear about today. Our Lord called, in particular, His people at the time, the Hebrew race, the Jewish people. And they were the chosen race who did not accept the message of the Lord. At the time of their visitation, they did not recognize who our Lord was because they did not have the eyes to see, they did not have the ears to hear. And our Lord says, I will call unto myself the Gentiles, the nations. So there were many excuses made. I have my farm, I have fields, I have a wife, I have my children, and so on and so forth, and I cannot really come to your supper. If they only understood that this supper was the greatest gift to mankind, they could not understand. For us, then, it is very important that we pray that our Lord open our understanding, that He open our eyes, that He open our ears, so that we can hear properly, so that we can see properly. And we will then experience the grace of the Holy Spirit every time we participate in the Holy Eucharist. And we will understand the difference when we participate in the Holy Eucharist, not with looking at the faults of others, in that wrong spirit, but looking at ourselves. This is why in the prayers it says, if you have aught with someone who's grieved you, reconcile yourself with them and have peace in your heart and participate properly in the Holy Eucharist. We also celebrate the feast of Saint Spyridon, a great example of one who was so simple and yet so sanctified, so holy, so great. He was a simple preacher. You recall the first ecumenical council. All the holy fathers gathered. St. Nicholas was present. St. Orsios of Cordova, many, many fathers, 318. Spyridon was in the midst of them, and Spyridon said, I have something to say. And the learned bishops were a little nervous. Oh no, Spyridon's going to speak. Spyridon is too simple. What is Spyridon going to say? And with St. Spyridon's simplicity, we know of the miracle of the brick, which proved that the Holy Trinity was one essence, undivided, but three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even as the brick had the sand, the fire, and the water. And in the presence of all the three elements separated themselves. And so what could be a greater message? This is why our Lord expects from us to be simple also, simple in heart, so that we will be able to receive him. I never tire from reminding you of the amazing grace which happens, the great mystery which happens in the Divine Liturgy. Now, once again, we're in the liturgy. It's so important to remind ourselves, so important because we're so forgetful. St. John of Kronstadt tells us that Divine Liturgy is the continuous miracle. The whole purpose of the service is to participate in the Eucharist. And this is what our Lord says in today's Gospel reading. Once again, the Holy Spirit descends in this humble little chapel, the Divine Liturgy. Always. There's only one thing that blocks that grace from transforming the holy gifts, and that is heresy. But on a personal level, of course, there's a lot of things which block the grace of God, and in particular, that's our own pride and our own disobedience and our own self-will and all those things which we know about, but which we have such a hard time giving up. So now's the time to pray, now in the Divine Liturgy, especially, where we are in the presence of the angels. Eyes have they, and they see not, but there are some who have perceived, hopefully many of us have perceived, that during the Divine Liturgy, we are in the presence of the holy angels. Isn't that the best time then to offer our prayers to God, our heartfelt prayers to God? What a beautiful opportunity to do so. May our Lord open our understanding. May he open the eyes of our understanding. Let us always pray that we will be deemed worthy to participate in the Holy Eucharist, and let us approach the Holy Eucharist with humility, with repentance, with love and fear of God. Pay attention when the deacon comes up with the Holy Chalice and he says, with fear of God, faith and love draw nigh. We have to start with the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We must have our faith. That is what gives wings to our prayers. And we must have love because that is the climax, the culmination of all the virtues. And in such a manner, then, we will become servants of God so long as we look to our Lord, so long as we humble our hearts, and so long as we treasure the pearl of great price, the Holy Eucharist, which we participate in, and the Holy Fathers, in particular one time, one of the monks who had a vision of a demon, heard from the demon, there are three things we cannot stand about you Christians, about you monastics. The first, there's the bath that you take in church. The second is that which you wear in around your neck. The bath, of course, is the holy baptism. What we wear around the neck, of course, is the holy cross. And the third, he says, believe me, if you all preserved what you receive in church, none of us could come close to you. That is Holy Communion. If we preserve the grace of Holy Communion, they could not come close to us. So we must prepare for Holy Communion, and then we must preserve the grace of Holy Communion. And then we will become children of light, children of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us worship him with fear of God, with faith, and with love, and let us draw nigh with humility of heart, honoring, glorifying, and worshiping Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, one essence.